This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're listening to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry on this Thursday, the 9th of May. I am sitting in for Mr. Newry today. The show is very simple. We're going to continue or sort of wrap up this conversation about this conversation with Equality Bahamas about the Prime Minister, primarily the Prime Minister's contributions to the discussion on marital rape and the criminalization of marital rape. I want to transition into a letter that was published about the published by a Caribbean feminist collective, and it's a statement against Israel's settler colonial project and ongoing genocide in Palestine. I thought it was a wonderful letter. I think the letter highlights at the point that it was published that the Bahamas government was the only CARICOM state to have not recognized Palestine as a state. A day after this letter, or 2 days after this letter was published, I think a day, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs published a statement indicating that the Bahamas now recognizes Palestine as a state. I want to talk about that a little bit. Ms. Wallace, I have one of the callers, I think, calling back in from the last slot. I'd like to take that call, and then we get back into the conversation. All right. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Ms. Wallace.
Good morning.
Aaron, I have a question.
Yes,
the gentleman that called just before the break, I wanted to ask a question. Today, as the law stands, if a wife goes to court and or goes to the police and accuses her husband, her legally binding husband, of rape, what will become of him? Will he be charged for rape? Because I know his lawyer can present paper showing that he's the husband. What will become of him? Would anything become of him?
No.
Or would anything happen to him by law?
Well, not he won't be charged with the offense of marital rape because it does not exist. It depends, I imagine, it depends on the directives in the station that they went to, right? Because I would expect that if a woman comes to the police station and says, I want to charge my husband with rape, right? The police officer says, ma'am, okay. She says, ma'am, we have a specific unit for sexual violence and sexual crimes. In the interim, while I liaise and find those officers, let me say this to you right now. We have no measure, no means with which to charge your spouse, your husband, with marital rape. Here are some options that exist in the law in the interim, right? So there's the spousal protection orders where you think you've experienced sexual violence in the home. You can claim, you can petition for these orders. And then the court will say to the spouse, the other spouse, you are required to do A, B, C, or D. Right? And so I think it depends on the culture. Ms. Wallace,
okay.
But let me let Ms. Wallace speak to that also.
Yeah, so as it stands, you would not be able to bring charges against your husband for rape because there is an exclusion in the definition of rape where it says who is not his spouse. What the caller earlier was talking about is Section 15, which is on sexual assault by spouse. So it's not classified as rape, and it only applies if you have the divorce or a separation or a court order. So ordinarily, if you are just ordinary married couple and you experience rape by your husband, there's nothing in the law. There's nothing okay. no law to bring charges.
Okay, I want to understand that because I'm really bothered by the way people seem to think that it's no big deal for things like that to be happening to a woman, and they you know that people are screaming for marital rape to be placed on the book specifically for a reason. And I'm hoping that they're listening to the reason why it has to be placed on the book, because there is no law against it as it stands. You understand me? So I'm really bothered by the way people seem to be offended that you guys are fighting for this. You understand me? Whatever you do, don't ever give up the fight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No giving up, no giving up. And I also want to make the point, Aaron, because the caller earlier also brought this up, and the Prime Minister has said it, and before him, the Minister of National Security has said it. It's being said over and over again that divorce is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the solution. Well, the act of sexual violence, the rape has already happened. And if, let's just say you have the money, you have the means, you have reasoning that would be accepted by the court to get a divorce, then you have ended your marriage. That's great. But what about the complete violation of your body, of your right to consent and to withhold consent? What about that violent act of rape? There should be the possibility to bring criminal charges. And those are two separate things. Ending the relationship or the kind of relationship is one thing. But accessing justice through the legal system is entirely different. Absolutely. Divorce is not a solution.
Absolutely.
It's not a complete solution.
And it's not recourse in the law for an act of violence. It's to the point where I wonder if the Prime Minister is actually a lawyer. Right? Because that statement, divorce is not recourse for the act of violence that you experienced.
And it should never be presented as one.
Right. Absolutely.
It's completely irresponsible.
So listen, let me read. Producer, is that a new caller on the line? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Good morning, Pumpkin Eater.
Yeah, I just wonder, I sent this to Nuri Show. I want to call in and add my 2 cents.
Okay, hold on. I'm about to transition. Okay, go on.
Yeah, well. What you going to transition to?
No. Say what you want to say.
Okay, sure. Because I see, I want to keep calling back and forth, so it might be interesting. But anyway, let me go on. You know, I present myself. You know, I'm in a wheelchair. And what happened if whenever wheelchair people do get married, my wife raped me. There's a recourse. So the bill would have give me a recourse, not to file a divorce. You don't have to file a divorce. The bill could have what you call warning in it. You understand what I'm saying? Hello?
What would the warning say?
Well, the warning could say if you do it again, what have you, you may have to pay a fine or something like that. And you keep paying a fine, or at the same time, but you could, if he's tired of it, could file as you want. But I'm trying to say, these are the things you could look at. Not necessarily you have to look at separation, because you don't break up the family. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the advice or like voice, because people do take advantage. Your wife, some men who are not in a wheelchair, woman strong enough to beat them. And I have cousins like that, female cousins. So these are the recourse you could add to it. And I, in case if I don't call back, Mr. Mitchell, still out of order. I still support Israel. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Wallace. Let me read through these texts quickly. There are a lot of them, and I don't want to be accused of being biased and not reading them out loud. Men don't get long enough paternity leave as women to spend time with their kids. What does your guess mean? Men do not have to deal with those issues. Men get like 3 days. Do men get postpartum depression? Do
yes,
men run...
I was specifically talking about the physical...
aspects of... motherhood,
of giving birth. And of C-sections. And we are actually, the research that we're doing is toward making recommendations for paternity leave.
All right. Another text, all the women in parliament, yet you want to focus on the one man, the PM, seems like any reason to blame a man. You know what I find interesting every single powerful foreign direct investor, they bypass every minister and they say, oh, I can talk to the prime minister. Every union leader, oh, no, I can talk to the prime minister, right? Everybody else thinks the buck stops with the prime minister. Why doesn't it stop with the prime minister here? But then let's get into it just very quickly. Of the women in the House of Parliament right now, who do you all think are women's rights advocates, real women's rights advocates? Who?
Out of the seven, because they said all those women. So,
that's seven out of 39, right?
39, first of all. Yes.
Seven out of 39. Women could be defenders of women. Women could be women's rights, women's advocates, you know. Women could be activists for women. But let us be honest right now. Of the women in the House of Assembly, how many of them are perpetuating patriarchy? See, here's the beautiful thing about it. A lot of people want to keep this conversation sort of rooted in men versus women. The conversation is far broader and more complex than that. We're talking about patriarchal systems that oppress both men and women, predominantly and primarily women.
And are internalized by both men and women.
Right. And so, yes, we have seven women in the House of Assembly out of 39. So, first of all, what you expect the seven to do out of the 39? You expect them to do more than the five could do? How much more you expect them to be able to do than the five could do on the opposition side? Conversation is extremely broad and complex. Here's another one.
You could also look at the system that we have in Parliament, the system of governance, the requirement that to get into Parliament, you have to join a party and you have to align with that party and you must fall under the leader and follow instructions. How difficult must it be to be one of seven women in a Parliament of 39 to stand up on an issue? And should they do it? Absolutely. We also have to recognize that there's a systematic and a systemic issue here, the enabling environment. Mm-hmm. As has been said in a number of statements and agreements that have been made by CARICOM states, for women to participate in public life and frontline politics. We have a lot of work to do to get there to a place where we have enough women, enough representation of people with disabilities as well, mm-hmm. so that these issues can come to the front and they're not treated as pet issues. Because you know what would happen if a woman in Parliament raised these issues? It becomes a pet issue, or she's only there to do this or that, and they're not serious, they're not taking on the serious issues, because for so many people, rape isn't serious.
Absolutely. Listen, Alicia, I would sell everything that I own, which is very little, by the way, but I would sell it all to support Glenys Hannah Martin taking AD Hannah's PLP somewhere where it will flourish. I will never forgive the PLP for not addressing that most vile and heinous statement made on the convention floor that time, directed at Glenys Hannah Martin when she was vying for some sort of leadership in the party, talking about what women, where women should be and what they should be doing. Don't ever miss superiority or power over men. And don't let the prime minister convince you of that. Because while y'all all keying about, oh, y'all ruling us, man. Have you been in the food store and looked at the feminine hygiene products on the shelf recently? Have you asked yourself, why is there VAT and duty? There may not be duty, but why is there VAT? There may be, maybe I think there's both still, on feminine hygiene protection products for women, women who bleed as a matter of their inherent being. Just having women present does not translate to women's empowerment, nor does it translate to women's authority. That these women have the power to protest, but don't. It's another conversation altogether. Here is a text. Gender equality demands that a sexual defraudment bill accompany the marital rape bill. I didn't want to read this one, you know, but here we are, Alicia. Gender equality demands that a sexual defraudment bill accompany the marital rape bill. Ask your guest why she agrees with this discrimination against men and husbands, since she's not promoting a sexual defraudment bill if she is truly seeking gender equality. The reason I didn't want to read this is because what you call those mechanisms in literature, like straw man fallacy and this and right. that, this is a totally, it's disingenuous, or no, that's not the right word. Your logic and your reasoning is faulty in this text. Because Alicia has not mentioned a defraudment bill, that means that she is discriminating against men?
There is already a law that deals with that.
Tell them what the law is.
We've already got the law that's on false report,
right,
of crime. It's there. You're going to be fine. As long as you don't rape somebody, you'll be fine.
There you go. Your guest is solely seeking women's rights, not gender equality. If not, then where is the sexual defraudment bill? No, no. Your prime minister has framed the conversation as a women's issue and a woman's concern only, when we all know that men are also victims of rape and men are also victims of marital rape. Don't let the devil use you. Another text, I understand, but I feel as if the fact that many... that's the one text that I can read that privately. I'm not going to read it out loud. Aaron, in this bill, do they have a requirement for women to be intimate certain times a month? Because women need to be giving up their bodies when married a certain amount of times a month. If that doesn't happen, they should be charged with emotional abuse. No? Question mark. You want to respond?
This is how we know that... A lot of people are simply not okay. A lot of people are not okay.
Yeah.
We do not have sexuality education in schools, comprehensive sexuality education. People are not learning about consent. People are not learning about the right to give consent or to withhold consent, bodily autonomy, or that marriage in particular, or any kind of relationship, does not entitle you to someone else's body. And that we still get to make decisions for ourselves. And it's violent to say that somebody is obligated to participate in a sexual activity with you for a minimum number of times. Mm-hmm. That is absurd. You are unwell.
And there's so much to delve into there. My concern, I'm coming to you now, Colin, my concern is this. Do people talk to each other before they get married? Are people having the types of conversations that they say are important to them? Like, if having sex is so important that you think that it should be written into law that spouses are required to submit to sexual intimacy a prescribed time, right? Like this amount of times per month minimum or per week minimum. Like, don't y'all...
Maybe a relationship.
Or maybe we should take the job, take the opportunity for premarital counseling more seriously. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Morning.
Yes, again. You know, I don't want to discuss the marital rape because it's a non-issue for somebody like me, but I'm blessed.
You still there? I don't know what happened, 52. I didn't cut you. I didn't drop you. All right, let's go to the next caller quickly, and then we're going to transition. Good morning, caller. We lost them. Okay, let's see. 52, this you again?
No, this is somebody else.
Your voice, same way.
Yes. I have a sister, listen to this, this is sometimes so rough, who have 10 children. And her husband, after the third child, he would brutally abuse her. She had to go out and work, and then she came to that he was so brutally that he even took her little three-year-old little boy hand and put it in the fire if she didn't have sex with him. So she took it to court, mm-hmm. And the magistrate separated them. He was not satisfied. Then she came home from work, he would hid in the clothes closet, or he would hid in the bathroom. That's how she ended up having those six other children to him. So people, don't disregard this. Men have the strength. And women have to learn to. So she gave up. She just gave up and she took care of those children with hardly any help from him. Mm-hmm. So these things do happen. And men come and want to bring in with this and that about them. Women have educated themselves over the years when they had to go to work. Men, nothing stopped men from getting their education. When I went to school, You had Miss Worrell. You had Miss Isla. They had cook rooms where women learned how to sew and cook and make things. Men had Mr. I forgot his name, but he taught carpentry. They always had something. So stop using this excuse, and then you go to the police. Some of them don't really believe you. But I can tell you, this really happened to my sister. That is all I want to say, and thank you for listening.
Absolutely, ma'am, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing, ma'am.
Because many people say, well, if you don't hear the story, it doesn't exist. But I think the rule is, if it could happen to one person, even if that person isn't alive right now, if it could happen, then, and you are aware of it, you have the foresight, then you prepare recourse, you prescribe laws that people are sitting back and thinking, well, I'm not a rapist, so I don't understand why we need this law. But you understand that other people are rapists, and that there are some people who are, to use your term, legitimate victims of sexual violence, right? To use your term, does that not warrant having recourse available for when it happens? Because we know it has happened. I'm expecting guests at 11:30. I don't see them yet, and we haven't touched on the Palestine letter. I've got two callers, and after these two callers, I can't take any more calls. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Grant.
Yeah, good. Call back.
But listen, hey, I'd like to state my position before you make your transition.
Yeah, man.
And so the lady that called, the elderly lady, that's a horrifying story for somebody like me. And so I could appreciate that, because I can't even fill my mother's shoes. My mother could do crochet, upholstery, hairdressing, and making clothes also. So she was multi-talented. I wouldn't even talk, okay?
Renaissance woman.
Yeah, now the thing is, I will respond to a text on which the caller had mentioned, as far as the lady on the talk, so she's talking about mothering and nurturing post-delivery, right? Birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he seems jealous of woman, but he have to realize, even in nature, some animals, the father disappears upon birth. They don't even know. They just go about their business. But with humans, there's a reason why the placenta exists. It's something called passive immunity. And so the woman, the nurturing of the child from the breast leads to a natural bond that's necessary for the development of the child mentally. But at the age of 59, with a 1.5-year-old, I'm blessed, because I realize the woman gets jealous when they say daddy first, but they still love mommy more. Mm-hmm. And then, but so I am not jealous of the situation with the ladies talking about in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I realize the child still will acknowledge me. They get to know you from in the womb by hearing your voice around the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a benefit of being around the mother while she's pregnant, because the child gets used to your voice and everything. And I know this, because I've had two children in my 50s, so I don't know where this demonization or this competition with women comes in. I'm confounded. We need to look at the animal kingdom and see where, I mean, just give me a break, brother. Bless up.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, 52. Mr. Johnson, if I need to send you some money so you could call back in, you send me a message and let me know, man. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you?
Empress Queen Aaron, it's a pleasure to be on your show this blessed uprising.
Blessings.
The caller, I have enough respect for the caller prior to me. He's on point. And continue to fight for the women in this country. Empress, continue to bring our voice to the forefront. I totally 100% support Empress Glenys Anna Martin being the leader of the PAP and taking it where it should have been. That breaks my heart to see where we have come, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
Please continue to move us forward, because we've not come far.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I support you 100%. I'm so happy always to hear you speaking up. You are on point. May the Lord always continue to bless you, and may you always have a voice.
Blessings. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much. I want to make this point. In the earlier portion of the discussion where we were interrogating the Prime Minister's words, and I wanted to make this point that it is the Prime Minister and subsequent state actors that are framing this conversation like a women's interest conversation only, right? First of all, even if the bill only addressed violence against women, women are related to men who care about their safety and their ability to move through the world freely. So it's never just a women's issue. But inherently, this is a gender-neutral issue. Both men and women are and can be victims of rape and marital rape. We point out, though, and acknowledge that women are predominantly the victims of rape and marital rape. The majority of instances reported formally or anecdotally involve women victims. We can also acknowledge that women can rape other women, while we acknowledge that women can rape men. See, for advocates, we've moved past that understanding. And it's frustrating when a state actor with the prominence of a prime minister would make such thoughtless and careless contributions to such an important issue. And I'm going to stick thoughtless and careless on it. I'm not going to go as far as to say that it's an intentional move and a savvy move by a well-trained KC. I ain't going to say that. But that it is careless and thoughtless and to some degree reckless, that for the sake of political expediency, you will continue to frame this conversation as if it's a women's only conversation. And I want to just throw this blow in there as well. Equality Bahamas is an organization that I know has been doing this specific policy work, policy engagement, legislative engagement, assessments of frameworks, right? There are very few, if any, other organizations doing this type of work in the Bahamas. It's unfair to say, there's only people talking about it, so it must not be important. There are other women's organizations working on other women's issues. And some of those organizations contribute to the very same discussion. I have comments from Marissa Mason Smith, former president of Zonta Club of New Providence, and Podesta Moore of Women's United, calling for stiffer penalties for convicted rapists. But the conversation about rape and marital rape are not women-specific agendas. We just acknowledge that while both men and women experience these forms of sexual violence, it is predominantly women who are the victims of this form of violence. Ms. Wallace.
Yeah, this is what we would expect the Department of Gender and Family Affairs to be engaging the public on. This is the education that we might expect, what is supposed to be, what has been framed as the national gender machinery to do.
Yes.
And it has failed. It continues to fail to do this work, to help people to understand why we are talking about gender, what it means to work toward gender equality, and what that looks like for people, for women and girls, for men and boys. This is why we need a national human rights institution.
Yes.
This is why the CEDAW committee and UN member states through the Universal Periodic Review process recommended it to the Bahamas as recently as May 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And that recommendation was accepted. And the Attorney General responded and said that, you know, the government has just done that. We have a parliamentary committee. That's not the same. A National Human Rights Institution, please look it up. It is not a parliamentary committee. It is independent.
And the said committee has not been constituted yet either, as far as I'm aware. Are you aware of it being constituted?
No, I mean, the committee doesn't even make sense. What are we expecting parliamentarians to do really on human rights?
I'm not sure. I got the sense from my initial reading about it that they essentially would be creating a framework. But why don't you have experts on the panel? That's my thing. Why don't you have experts on the panel?
Exactly. A committee of parliamentarians is not going to get us where we need to be. We need a national human rights institution that is properly funded, that is independent, so that they can monitor the situation, they can receive complaints, They can move those complaints to the correct places. They measure the government's performance. They make recommendations to the government. We desperately need that.
Yes.
As much as we need a real national gender machinery, which the Department of Gender and Family Affairs is not. And I also don't know what's going on with the Minister of Social Services. We're getting very strange comments from him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Equality Bahamas has been calling for a meeting with the Minister of Social Services for months and months and months. We have a very long email thread where the only reply that we get is some version of your email is acknowledged.
Okay. All right. And now, oh boy.
What does that mean?
It means that people can't do what they ought to do and they know they ought to do it because I say that like I know what it means, you know. I don't know what it means, Ms. Wallace. But when you say that, I think perhaps a part of our problem is that at the administrative level, state actors are unable to compel their staff to do as they are directed because of a conflict at a personal level, whether it's the instructor or the instructee. And I say that seriously because that doesn't mean that you just fire people because they find themselves stuck in their work around an important or a controversial national issue, you know. That's not what it means. But what it means is that you have to make a human resources assessment and determine whether the people who are in these places can do the work that's required of them. If they are not doing the work because of a personal or psychological barrier.
And are people in positions where they're actually fundamentally opposed to the mandate?
I've faced that. And I want to say this. I want to say that I have interacted with one politician who looked me in my face and said, Green, I could be honest with you. As a woman of God, as a minister of the church and a minister of the government, I find myself deeply conflicted. But I want to be honest with you and tell you that. I want to say good morning, Melanie Griffin, one of the most important, honest politicians I ever met. She was able to say, as a minister of the church and a minister of the government, there is conflict for me and I have to wrestle through it. And that's all I could ask for. But I appreciated so much because that's all I could ask for. Now, Ms. Wallace, there's even more controversial topic on the table in the last 8 minutes, or 5 minutes, even less, 5 minutes of today's show. In Monday's Tribune, I think there was an article, a letter to the editor posted under the name Equality Bahamas. The title was Caribbean Feminist Statement Against Israel's Settler Colonial Project, an Ongoing Genocide in Palestine. But this letter emanates from a Caribbean feminist collective?
Yes, the statement is from the Network of Caribbean Feminists, and Equality Bahamas is a part of it, so we have put it forward, but we don't own the statement.
Okay.
And we thought that this was important to do as a group, a network of feminist and women's rights advocates, to speak up on this issue where there has been far too much silence all over the world, silence within this region. And we had to have conversations about the similarities between the issues that we're seeing Palestinians face and what we have faced as Caribbean people, as Afro-descendant and Indo-descendant people, and connecting these struggles and understanding that they are rooted in colonialism, they're rooted in racism, and absolutely rooted in capitalism. And we have to stand together. We have to be in solidarity. We are not in a position where we can see ourselves as separate and see, you know, those problems over there, those problems over there. They're connected. And as is always said, none of us are free until all of us are free. And we came together to draft this statement, which is really a call to CARICOM and to heads of government of CARICOM countries to take a clear, firm position in support of Palestine, mm-hmm. and to completely denounce and cut ties with Israel that is acting out, you know, carrying out this genocide and continuing its colonial project right before our eyes, being live streamed on social media all day, every day, while so many people remain silent. Our heads of government, CARICOM, should not be among the silent ones.
Absolutely. And in yesterday's paper, we have these two articles. Bahamas recognizes Palestine as a state in the Nassau Guardian and in the Tribune. Bahamas' last CARICOM member to recognize Palestine as a state. I want to ask you if you saw an article or a story coming out of the United States. This headline I'm reading from a publication called The Hill. What I found interesting was the only mainstream American sort of media site that posted this story was Yahoo News, and they actually reposted an article by another from another entity. But this information has not been redacted or denounced as untrue. GOP conservatives threaten ICC with sanctions if they seek Netanyahu's arrest. A dozen GOP senators threatened the International Criminal Court with sanctions if the body moves forward with an arrest warrant against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or other Israeli leaders. The ICC has reportedly considered a warrant for Netanyahu's arrest for weeks as accusations rise of war crimes in the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. Quote, target Israel and we will target you, close quotes. The senators, led by Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas, wrote in a letter last month threatening to, quote, sanction your employees and associates and bar you and your families from the United States. Quote, you have been warned, close quotes. It concludes. The letter warns the ICC that the U.S. could invoke the American Service Members Protection Act in any response to arrest warrants. Ms. Wallace.
Yes.
I was stunned when I saw that letter. I was absolutely stunned. Some of the reporting about it is very salacious. They use the word threaten. I mean, even this headline, threaten ICC with sanctions, and many social media posts just said they threatened him. But for many people in the Caribbean, not being, you know, this is a real threat, having access to the global north, even if the U.S., even if only as a trans, you're in transit, only as a transit stop, is problematic for many people. Someone like me, who half my siblings are American, right? Like, half my siblings are American. That is concerning for me. I want to be able to go and see my family on vacation if I want to go see them. What's been the response from actors, advocates in the region in terms of a concern or fear of a backlash?
Well, the network is absolutely incensed by these threats and what they represent, which is the great extent that certain states will go to ensure that the genocide continues.
Okay.
Which is so different from what these same states are prepared to do to protect human life.
Yes.
And to back Palestine. You know, on one hand, it's deciding that certain a certain set of lives are more important than others, and that they're saying that it's worth it. It's worth it for tens of thousands of Palestinian people to be murdered and for children to be maimed and for all of these people to be injured and for their lives to be completely upended, for them to continuously be pushed to the south, be pushed to particular areas only to be bombed, that is okay because capitalism.
Absolutely. Ms. Wallace, I have a text that just came in here. It's very interesting. Oh, we got to go to our break, producer. Okay, caller, here's what we're going to do. Caller, hold the line. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to take the call, and then this text brings both conversations together, both the Palestinian side and the women's rights side. Caller, hold the line. Let the producer know if I need to give you some money for your phone. We'll be right back. You're tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, Erin Green sitting in for Mr. Nuri today. Stay tuned. We're about to end the show.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.gov.bs.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We got about 5 minutes left before we close out the show. Let's go to this caller and then back to the text. And Ms. Wallace, good morning, caller.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. The only problem I have with the conversation is that it is on a particular and peculiar and a peculiar path, okay?
Okay.
We have reached the point in the culture now where gender and equality has a very specific, a specific meaning in terms of, you know, where it's headed, okay? Now, that is the, that, you know, it's to such an extent, you know, that, you know, the earlier in the conversation on the topic of marital rape, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the impression that there is a different law for a single woman who has been raped.
Mm-hmm.
And a married woman,
well,
who's been raped.
There's no law for married people who experience rape. There are laws for single people who experience rape. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Now, since there's a law for a single woman in terms of being raped, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't, I think it's four sections in the penal code that deal with this issue in terms of, you know, single or marriage. It comes under the heading of abuse. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why is the marriage thing being targeted, right? When there are sufficient laws on the books to deal, especially, you know, if a person who is single, she tends to be more vulnerable, you know. But is that the case, or is there something different in those categories?
Let me give you this scenario. If a single woman, you got neighbors, right? You live amongst neighbors. You could hear what's going on in the neighborhood. You know, as a single woman living in that house, and you hear a cry out, you hear a scream out, stop, stop, don't.
Yeah.
And then the next night you hear from the house where you know is a married couple in it, you hear the same thing, scream, stop, stop, no, don't, I don't want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you respond to both incidents the same way?
No, but see what you are implying here is that for a person who is married, her being married kind of gives her husband a license for him to rape her.
That's what people are saying, not me.
No. If you all are saying that in the law there is nothing that deals with the issue of marital rape, then you know this is essentially a license for a husband to rape his wife. Now, we have to go and deal with this underlying issue in terms of all women being equal under the law. You know, if she is single or married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if, you know, it's something that has to come on the table, you know, or else this particular part of this.
I'm all out of time, sir.
Okay, baby. Mm-hmm. All right.
No.
Have a good day.
But I just want to make the point that what you have put on the table, I think, is a great part of the discussion. Like, the way that you framed it is a great way for us to start interrogating it more deeply. And I appreciate that. I just want to say to you, I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Absolutely. Ms. Wallace?
Yes.
Last 30 seconds.
Check out the Strike Fire campaign to criminalize marital rape. And you can go to tiny.cc/strike. The number 5, IVE, and to read the full statement from the Network of Caribbean Feminists on the situation in Palestine, calling on CARICOM to take action, you can find that at tiny.cc/Caribbean for Palestine.
Absolutely, and the Strike 5 campaign calls for the House of Parliament legislators to strike 5 words to create a legal state where, like the Prime Minister said, rape is rape. Whether you're married, if I could quote it, rape is rape, whether you're married or unmarried, and the challenge they have is describing it, close quotes. To the texters, I'm sorry, we ran out of time. I didn't get to read aloud all of the text. I just want to note that some of these texts cannot be read aloud, and I don't guess who. So, have a great day, Bahamas. Howard Grant and the Foundation is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.